Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, respected listeners. The date today is the 6th of Shaban, 1446, and it's corresponding to the Gregorian calendar, the 5th of February, 2025. Alhamdulillah, we have Mufti Farhan Karani. Let's welcome Mufti Sahab. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Alhamdulillah, thumma alhamdulillah. How's Mufti Sahab doing?
Alhamdulillah,
shukr. Gee, Mufti Sahab, what's on Mufti Sahab's mind for this particular segment, and what can we inform the Ummah?
Last night there was one, somebody came to speak in the masjid, one of the masjids in my area, about the experience and what's happening in Syria.
Gee.
I'd just like to speak about the Tawbah of it.
Okay,
So he was speaking about with the organization he worked, or his organization, they were from 1915. And they, from that time until now, people have been living in refugee camps. And when you think about a refugee camp, just think about a tent. A camping tent filled with 20 people inside. Each tent has 20 people inside. How did they get to that point? So a normal day, like how we would live our life, day goes on, father is at work, mother is at home, children are in school, and all of a sudden, military invades the city, and they swarm through the streets, and they just start arresting people, and just start shooting people, and taking people away. And how do you get home? And how do you get your children and your wife together with you? There's no way. There's no way of doing this. So you are stuck in a certain place, your family is somewhere else, your children are somewhere else, and they direct you to a different, in a different direction. You are not only allowed to go this way. So like that, millions of people were displaced. Children don't know where their parents are. Still today, some children survive all the time, and they don't know where their parents are, if they're alive or not. They don't know whether their spouses are alive. They're still looking. Maybe they were in this prison. Let me go see in this prison and go see in that prison. Prisoners were released from this side, that side. Let me go and see. Go to the cemeteries. Maybe I'll find him there. We need some closure. So this is, this was a situation there in Syria. And we cannot comprehend this here. We cannot comprehend it because we are living in lives of luxury, lives of comfort, and utter comfort. We in this country, and even during the apartheid, we have never seen devastation in our lives the way these Muslim countries are experiencing. Look at Gaza, look at Syria, look at Afghanistan. Afghanistan, those people were fighting for decades. Over 40 years, they're fighting. The Russians came, got defeated, they left. Before that, the British were there, they had to run. Then came the Americans, they had to run. So, all their lives, they are just defending themselves. And similarly, these people in Palestine and these people in Syria, they were just defending themselves, defending their right to live a normal life. But now if you look at what kind of people were they? You know, we are very quick to judge and say, look, those people were, Allah Ta'ala's punishment on them. And we don't know. Sometimes Allah Ta'ala wants you to attain a certain rank, and you cannot get there. So Allah Ta'ala puts you through difficulty to get you there. So it's not always a punishment from Allah Ta'ala. And the story is from there. The brother was saying that he spoke to children on the ground. They say they never missed a nafal salah in their life. They can't remember when they missed a nafal salah. Can you imagine? They never missed a nafal salah. We missed our sunnah, we missed our faraiz. They never missed a nafal salah. And remember that place, Syria, Sham, Damascus, that whole area. It's the concentration of the Abdal, the special servants of Allah Ta'ala, are concentrated mainly in that region. So those people amongst them, they are very, very pious people. And he was explaining that they were distributing bread in one in the camp that they used to distribute in. So one whole tent, say, like about 20 people, 25 people in there. They give them one bread. You're talking about not a loaf of bread, talking about a chapati. And that one bread must be shared amongst everybody in the tent. How do you share it? You give the old, you give the young, you give the women, you give the children. Who do you give it to? So that's what they had to be enduring during their time in those tents, in those concentration camps. That tent was their home. That was day and night they had to spend in there. And we can't imagine what they had to go through. There is one tent we went to, and there was an elderly woman inside. We took a bread for her, and we wanted to give it to her. She indicated, no, leave it there by the door. Even in that state, she kept her haya, that, no, you don't come inside. I will come and fetch it there. Then she went and she fetched it from there. And then she called them later on and said, no, you have to come and eat with me. You have to eat something. What did she get? She got one chapati. And she's insisting, no, you have to share this meal with me. Just imagine their hospitality, even in that dire circumstance, in that dire situation, they still have that those morals of Islam in them that, no, my Nabi taught them to share, and I'm going to share. Even if I have one bread, doesn't matter, I'm dying of starvation, my children are dying, but you are my visitor, I have to entertain you. Imagine, with one chapati. So that is the level of their iman, that's the level of their love for the sunnah. And even in those tents, women were still observing fardha, and they kept their modesty, and that's how they lived their life. And now when they are out, they appreciate the freedom which they had before and they have now. And we have every resource. We have money. We have time. We have food. You know, our children are so fussy that if you put a plate of vegetables in front of them and they don't, I know, I don't eat this, you flick the pea out of the way there. Oh, there's a broccoli. I don't eat this here. I can't eat this here. Or this thing, I can't eat this here. I don't eat tomato sauce. I don't eat this. What do you eat? One dry roll. Then you must go to Syria and go and live there and see what it is you have on here. And then you'll appreciate every single thing in your plate. We don't appreciate anything. We take everything for granted. I have money, I just go to the shop and go buy something. There's no shop to buy anything there. There isn't. There's no money and there's no shop to buy anything. How much of sugar we must make in this country that we have everything at our disposal, everything and anything we want. And so every cent we have, we must appreciate. Don't waste it. Every morsel of food we have in our plate, we must appreciate it. That this is a ni'mah from Allah Ta'ala. So how did they defeat that Shia regime? How did they overnight defeat an entire Zalim regime? So there were over 100 military factions in Syria operating. So they all decided to come together and they all joined forces, and that is how they overthrew the Assad regime. And now, alhamdulillah, the new prime minister or president of Syria, he seems to be on the sunnah. Although his dressing is not sunnah, he has a beard. He wants to adopt Sharia law there. I don't know if that's going to be possible with 2,000 US troops in Syria, on Syrian soil itself, I don't know what are they doing there. The whole world is, Russia is left, everybody's left. But the American forces, 2,000 of them are still stationed in Syria. The ministers have been appointed, some ulama, and they insist that the Sharia law must be implemented into the constitution of the country. So, alhamdulillah, inshallah, it will go in the right direction, and we will see some change. And if you look at places like Afghanistan, and once upon a time, not very long ago, 3 years ago, there was war taking place. Islam was subdued. Now, if you go there, there's no riba taking place there. There's everything is run according to Sharia law. Whenever there's Sharia law in a place, there will be barakah. There will be barakah. And if we look at the hadith at the time when Isa alayhi salam will descend, then there will be so much of barakah. So much of barakah. One goat will feed like seven families. So much of barakah. There will be Allah Ta'ala will put so much of blessings and everything. So this Sharia we have, it's not something which we supposed to be forced to do. We should happily follow the Sharia. We shouldn't feel that we are forced to do anything. That's a sign of hypocrisy. And if we understand the rahmat of Allah Ta'ala, that Allah Ta'ala has given us Islam, and Allah Ta'ala has made us born in a Muslim home, what a great ni'mat. What a great ni'mat that we go to the masjid. Those people in those countries, there's no masjid left. The oldest masjid in Gaza bombed to the ground. There's nothing left. The entire masjid is demolished. So we have masajid. Why don't we fill the masajid? We have a masjid which can accommodate 2,000 people. But for Fajr Salah, there's only 100 people. Only 100 people. 5% of the masjid is full. Where are the 95%? You see them for Jummah Salah. So where were they for Fajr Salah? And so if we want Allah Ta'ala's help, then we have to adhere to the sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Everything in life will become easy for us. Everything will fall into place. And people will fear us when we fear Allah Ta'ala. When we fear Allah Ta'ala, the world will fear us. So when we drift away from Allah Ta'ala and we start fearing the kuffar system, driving, and you just think, you know, people are driving in a yellow lane. So why are they driving there? Because they don't see a policeman. That's why they're driving there. If they see, they spot a policeman, they have the hill there. Then they start getting in on the side. So that's how we love our life. That's how we love our life. And we do as we please. And then when there's a warning sign, there's something that jolts us, some very, very big event takes place, and then our brain shakes into place, and then we'll come into the masjid, and we start reading Salah, and we start reading Quran, we cry to Allah Ta'ala, we make dua. And then when a policeman goes away, he's not there anymore, we pass him long, far away, 2 kilometers ahead of him, and now we go back into the yellow lane, and we'll break all the laws again. So that is how insan is. When we're not kept in check, then we go astray. So that is the Siratul Mustaqim. We have to keep on the Siratul Mustaqim. It's difficult. You're going to sit in a traffic. When you're sitting in a traffic, it's going to take you long to get your destination. Or you can take you can go onto the yellow line and emergency lane, and you're going to skip all the traffic. But you're not traveling on that route that you're supposed to be taking. And on that road you're taking now, there's harm for you. And you're going to get a fine, traffic fine. And so you are putting yourself in problem. So stay on that Siratul Mustaqim. That traffic line will move very slowly. Slowly it will move, but you'll get your destination. Similarly with Siratul Mustaqim, that if we want to take this path to Allah Ta'ala, we have to go on that straight path. We have to follow and adhere to the Sharia, adhere to the sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, ayat, what Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, then we will get to our destination. So, in life, we have time. Time is a very precious resource. You can't buy it. You can't go online and say, I want to buy 2 years extra. How much would it be? $500, okay. Put my credit card details and I'm going to get 2 years extra life. No. Whatever life we have, that is it. But we don't know how much of life we have. Whether we have 1 day left, 1 hour left, we have 1 year left, or we have 50 years left, we don't know. So, because we don't know, we ought to be distressed that, what am I doing with my life? I don't know when my life is going to end. How much of my life have I wasted away? If you look at just 1 day in our life, and at the end of the day, you just see on your phone, go to your settings there, and you'll see there display screen time. How much of screen time did I have today? You will see that we spent more time on our phones than we spent making ibadat of Allah Ta'ala. We look at how much time we spend in the masjid for Fajr Salah, 15 minutes, Dhuhr 15 minutes, half an hour. We spend maybe 1.5 hours in the masjid. Right? And then we spend 15 minutes reading Quran. Okay, you'll see it 2 hours. But our screen time is like 5 hours. So, and what were we doing? What were we doing when I was on our phone? We were just doomsday scrolling through all our social media apps and checking people's statuses and looking at news, not even relevant, something happening in Greece and what's happening in this other continent there, far off in the Atlantic Ocean. It doesn't affect us, but we have to know what's happening there. And so we all are guilty of this, that we are wasting our time. And now, if we understood where we're heading to, so we are all musafir, we're all travelers, and what resources we need for our destination. A person going on a holiday, then you say, okay, I'm going to Durban now, I'm going to stay in this place here, this accommodation, let me buy this whole building out. And I want to buy this apartment out, I buy this building out. I'm going to be there for a week. No, he says the person is foolish. So similarly, we are living in this world, but we accumulate so much in this world that we forget that we have a destination to reach. We have a destination to reach, like a person who is traveling, going from here to Durban, and he stops on the way to fill up fuel and eat something. But then he says, no, I'm going to stay here. Let me buy a house here. This is a nice area. Let me buy a house here. We'll see when we get there, whenever we get there. And we'll spend a few months or years here and then we move on. No. You know, your destination is there. This is not your home. You have a home back wherever you came from. So, this is not our home. So, the Sahaba understood this properly. The Sahaba understood this properly. You look at the hadith of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Advised us that this is not our permanent home. This is our temporary home. That when the Sahabi gave something in Sadaqah, whether it was one kajur or one dirham he gave in Sadaqah, he was 100% absolutely sure that this dirham, this kajur is going to help me in the year after. It is already deposited in my bank account in the Akhirat. And I will definitely see it there. And Allah Ta'ala takes that one kajur and He nurtures it and He multiplies it. And when we get there to the Akhirat, we thought we read one subhanallah or we gave 1 rand in charity and we find a mountain of rand there and a mountain of kajur. And where did this all come from? And we told that just 1 day you gave that 1 rand to the beggar. We multiplied it for you. So that is, our yaqeen should be in this. That whatever we give in the path of Allah Ta'ala, it's going to be in our balance in the Akhirah. Now, we can either keep it in our balance or we can destroy it. And can destroy the balance also. how we destroy the balance, making riba and lying, slandering, looking at haram, and involving ourselves in all kinds of sins, then we are diminishing our bank balance in the akhirat. So when a person comes in the akhirat and he sees that he has nothing there, and what Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, قُلْ هَلْ نُنَبِّئُكُمْ بِالْأَخْسَرِينَ أَعْمَالًا. Say, O Rasulullah, should we not tell you who is the person at the most loss, and بِالْأَخْسَرِينَ أَعْمَالًا, who is at a total loss? أَلَّذِينَ ضَلَّ سَعْيُهُمْ. And very, very scary ayat to think of the meaning. أَلَّذِينَ ضَلَّ سَعْيُهُمْ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. That person who lost all his efforts in the life of the dunya. وَهُمْ يَحْسَبُونَ أَنَّهُمْ يُحْسِنُونَ صُنْعًا. While they thought that they were accumulating, they were doing good deeds, and they were accumulating goodness here in the akhirat, but they have lost it all in the dunya. Because شَتَمَ هَذَا وَطَرَبَ هَذَا. You saw this person, you hit this person, you took the money of this person, and you slandered this person, you favored that person. So all your rewards were taken away. So on the day of Qiyamah, then a person will come there and he'll think, oh, I got a very big bank balance here. Look at Nami Amal, I got nice set balance here. But then people will come and claim from him. And if he doesn't have anything to give back, then that person's evil deeds will be laden on that person. That, because he needs to compensate somehow. There will be some bannas of Allah Ta'ala that Allah Ta'ala will himself pay your debt and set you free. But that's illa mashallah, whoever Allah Ta'ala wishes to do for, Allah Ta'ala will do. But Allah Ta'ala is not obliged to do anything for anybody. Allah Ta'ala is Qahhar, Allah Ta'ala is Malikul Mulk. And so Allah Ta'ala can do as He pleases. So what must we do? And we should not waste our time. We should not waste our wealth on things which we will not need on this journey. When a person goes on a journey, he doesn't take everything with him. He only takes the necessities, what he'll need for the journey and what he'll need on his destination and what will be required of him to reach back home. And not everything he will take from his house. So, like this, we have to appreciate our time, appreciate the food we have on our plate. And wallahi, what we are eating in this country, people will die for in other countries. They will die for in other countries. That plate of food we have, even with baked beans and bread, people, our brothers and sisters in Gaza, they don't even have. We have cake. They die for bread. They're standing in queues for hours just to get one bread and one scoop of soup. For hours. But we can go and open a can of baked beans and eat and with relish, and we enjoy a loaf of bread. And the most simplest meal. And we take for granted. But we have the most luxurious of meals. We don't even know where to start when we're eating on a dastakhan. We don't even know where to start. What must we start with? We eat so much that we can't even eat anymore. There's no place for dessert also. There's no place for tea after it. We ate so much. Those people, they eat to survive and they don't even have enough to survive. So we must make so much of shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That whatever we have, we must appreciate it. And when we're eating, you must think of those people who don't have. Think of those people. Tell Allah, this person, they don't have. They don't have. I'm wearing shoes. They don't have shoes. The people, they don't have shoes. I'm wearing a shirt on me. I'm wearing a t-shirt. I'm wearing a kurta. There's other people. They don't even have that. You know, the Sahaba, radiallahu anhum, they were so poor. Some of them were so poor that they only had one garment to cover themselves. One garment, not two garments, not three. We wear like four garments. We had one garment. And that garment was so small also, so short, that It barely covered their satr. So it is to hide behind each other to cover their satr. That is how Islam started. That is what sacrifices the Sahaba gave. And they toiled and they sacrificed everything they had for this deen of ours. And then we get people who swear the Sahaba. And if it wasn't for them, we wouldn't have been here to say La ilaha illallah. We wouldn't have been here to say the Kalima. If it wasn't for the Sahaba, if it wasn't for the Badriyin, we wouldn't have been here today. And they gave their, they sacrificed their lives, literally put their lives on the line. And Allah can make them victorious. So if we want to be victorious in this dunya also, if you help a Muslim person, to help somebody, anybody, to help a person in need, and Allah Ta'ala will give you 73 blessings. One of that blessing, or just one blessing of that 73, will be enough to save us from Jahannam. Just one of those blessings. Anybody in need, whether it's a beggar, or whether it's somebody you know, if you don't have the means to help him, you organize the means to help him. I know this person here, he has some zakat money, this person is zakatable. Hey, brother, you got some zakat money, I know somebody who can give it to. Yes, I got some zakat money, okay, let me help this person. So you're the intermediary. Imagine, for being the intermediary, helping out somebody in need, not even with your resources, you get the 73 blessings. And one of it will save you from the fire of Jahannam. And that other 72 will be used to raise your status in Jannah. So how merciful is Allah Ta'ala? How merciful is Allah Ta'ala? Allah Ta'ala wants us to go to Jannah. Allah Ta'ala pushes us in the direction of Jannah. Go take this road there. Take this road there. Go to the masjid in your area. Just 1 kilometer down the road there, or 500 meters. Oh, what is the masjid? Go there for Fajr Salah. Go there for all your Salahs. Spend time there. There's a mini talk taking place. Go sit there. The Malaika are there also in that gathering. We know there's some very important person, some ministers and their bodyguards in the area, a certain place. You all want to go see there, who's there and what's happening there. And the Malaika are there in the masjid. The Dini talk is taking place. The Malaika are there. They have direct connection with Allah Ta'ala. Those are the beings we're supposed to be in connection with. We're supposed to be around, hanging around with the Malaika, hanging around in the company of the Malaika. It is a company you should choose. And Allah Ta'ala give me the ability to make amal on what I have said. Allah Ta'ala make me practice upon it first. And Allah Ta'ala give everybody the tawfiq to practice.
I mean, Jazakumullah khairan, Muftisa, for that advice. Allah make dua for us as well. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah.